done to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are renewed. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all life is washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But through the blessed cross of Christ, when there I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Your glory, grace and blessing marks the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh sinner, won't you come the day to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to this water's spring, for thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply.
All right, man, good to see all of you here on this Sunday night, chilly night. Let me just get you to pray for Deborah Bell. I mentioned to you this morning that she took a little spill. Apparently there was a little ice in Lubbock, and she fell, and they ended up taking her to the emergency room this afternoon, just simply, I guess, having enough pain. They were concerned there might be something broke, but seems like she doesn't have anything broke. They kind of went through top to bottom, and they didn't have anything there that they could identify, but they're being discharged from the hospital here in the next hour or two. Pray for her. I think we're going to be in good shape tonight. I don't think the temperature is going to drop enough to freeze any of the moisture until after we get home, and so I think we'll be in really good shape on that, but pray for Deborah. Glad you're back tonight. If you guys may be here then didn't know exactly what we're doing tonight, we're playing, we're having a little mini service here. Brother Dave is going to, you don't put Dave in a very small box because he got so much energy, so he's going to spin around here for about 5 minutes, he said, show us a video. I'm not sure what all he's got put together. That's up to him. But and then we'll dismiss from here. We're going to the back playing free bingo. We're going to be giving away prizes. We've got a lot of snacks back there, drinks, things like that. And then it's Bibles, commentaries, devotional books, things of that nature will be given away, and it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm so glad you're here tonight. Let me just remind you of a couple of things we're doing here. We are taking on kind of as a Christmas project, Pack a Shoebox. And this is for Operation Christmas Child. You take a shoebox, and there's a paper back here in the back table you can get to kind of give you the ideals of the things they're looking for. You fill that shoebox with the various things that they're requesting. And these shoe boxes will be turned in and be shipped across the world to children and various places that have a whole lot more need for them than there would be for our children here in America. These little things, small things like rag dolls and or little dolls and things that you put in there would mean a whole lot more to some of these children. They don't get the kind of gifts that that we do and our kids get. So along with that, will be, it's evangelistic. There will be the gospel and some discipleship things go along with those boxes being delivered. And so it's just a really good deal. It's a way for us to get involved with blessing people across the world. And so get you a little paper on the back table. We'll give you a little more detail about what we're doing and get involved. The final date or the deadline, if you will, for that is going to be November the 19th, okay? And that's because that's the third Sunday of this month, of November, actually. And so you'll want to kind of get on the ball. Let me just go ahead and tell you right now, and you're going to hear me just say this over and over in the next 3 weeks, but they encourage you to decorate the boxes, but don't do it in such a way that the box can't be opened. You need to decorate the lid, but don't wrap it up like a present, because they have to get in those boxes and make sure everything in there is safe and appropriate and for the children. So get involved, decorate your box and this sort of thing, and be a part of this. Okay, with that being said, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll turn it right back over to Brother David, and we have a really good group tonight. So glad you're here, and we're going to have a good time. Okay, that being said, Aaron, will you lead us in prayer, please?
If you take your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter number 10, please. My time doesn't start until I read my text, okay? But once I read my text, my goal is 5 minutes. I'm going to show you a 4-minute video, and so hopefully what I've got, it will not be longer than 10 minutes tonight. Now, if I accomplish this, it is a miracle of God. You can believe in God. Because I used to preach 45 minutes to an hour before I came here, and so now I'm down to about 30 minutes, and I know some of you would like for it to be shorter, but I have really come way back. And so let's get into this right quick tonight. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 1, the Bible says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place whither himself would go." So you get the idea? God's got 70 men. He's fixing to send them out. He's sending them out two by two so they could reach the world that was around them. In verse number 2, he says this, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Start the stopwatch. If the harvest at this time was great, it is greater now. There are more people that are living on the face of the earth than any time in history. So just a few years ago, there were 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and now there is 8 billion people. There are more lost people in our world today than there ever has been before. And so when Jesus was looking at the world and he was saying, you know what, there is a great harvest of souls, there is a great number of people that need to be saved, it is greater today than it has ever been before. But he says, here is the problem, there are laborers are very few. I believe that there are fewer laborers than there probably ever has been. You know why? Because young people are not surrendering to the ministry like they were once. Young people are not giving their lives to the Lord. They're not surrendering to be youth directors and preachers and missionaries. And couples are no longer surrendering their lives and going to the foreign fields to be missionaries. And Jesus is saying, you know what? There is a great harvest, but there are few laborers. Faithful church members are fewer and fewer in this day and time. If you look at church history, or not church history, but if you look at church attendance across America is nosediving. Faithful church members are harder and harder to come by. Why is that? I think Jesus talks about that in verse number 57 through verse number 62 of chapter number 9, where he says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." This man is volunteering to follow Jesus. He sees Jesus and he says, hey, I want to be a part of your ministry. I am willing to follow you wherever you will go. He is caught up in emotionalism because Jesus turns to him and he says in verse number 58, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nets, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus was saying, hey, if you're going to follow me, you're going to probably have to give up some comfort. You're going to have to give up some security. Life following me is not always going to be easy. And so the text doesn't say, but the inference is that this man went away and didn't follow Jesus. And then in verse number 59, there was a man near, and Jesus asked him, and he says, hey, would you follow me? But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, I find that ironic, because if his father was dead, why was he not there with his family? He's with this crowd over here, and Jesus says, hey, I want you to follow me. I want you to commit your life to me. And he says, oh, before I can do that, I have to go back home and bury the dead. The inference is that he turned and he didn't follow the Lord. And then another man in verse number 61, the Bible says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. He's volunteering. He says, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. Hey, God, I'll follow you, but before I can do that, I've got some things at the house I've got to take care of. But Jesus said in verse number 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people that get caught up in a service and say, boy, I'm willing to follow you. Remember Peter? I'll never deny you, but he did. I'll follow you, Lord. But here's what Jesus says. Hey, if you follow me, it's going to take a total commitment. You can't follow me and looking back at the world at the same time. I think it's one of the reasons why our country's in the shape that it's in. Because a lot of Christians are saved, and one time they said, you know what, we're going to follow you, but they started following the Lord, and then all of a sudden they got busy with everything else, and they started looking back, and I'm not a farmer, but my dad was a farmer, and I know if you're plowing a row without GPS, you've got to look ahead of you and drive that tractor straight. If you're always looking behind you, that row is going to go like this. Jesus says, hey, if you're going to follow me, you can't be looking back. You've got to go forward. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to California for a spiritual leadership conference, and the pastor of that church, a guy by the name of Paul Chappell, talked about a guy by the name of Saul Manjur is his name. He was from El Salvador, and he was just generally talked about him because he said he gave $200,000 a year to his church. But he said God called him, and then this year, I had the opportunity to go back. They showed a video of the story of Saul. And he immigrated here from El Salvador. He was outside of Los Angeles. He was in the garment industry. He had an income of $1 million a year. Don't let that fly over your head. He was making $1 million a year. And God burdened his heart about going to South Central Los Angeles and starting a church. He walked away from that to go to one of the toughest areas in the United States to start a church. 4 minutes and I'm done.
The need of planting churches in Los Angeles is forever. While I'm speaking to you right now, I see that, you know, the buildings of downtown right there, over there, it's about 5 miles from here. So much people from here to there. First time I walked into Lancaster Baptist Church, the Hispanic were gathering in the gym, and then the preacher started preaching about the long-haired guys, and I was the only one there with the long hair. So he was just preaching to me. I liked it because he was, you know, whatever he was saying, I remember that he was looking at the Bible, bringing, you know, points from the Bible and verses. And that kept us, you know, really going. So that day, I received the Lord as my Savior. So we were growing, we were learning. And so 6 months later, I got baptized. I cut my hair. I got a suit, first tie. And, you know, and it was a new life.
Well, those were exciting times as we had just started West Coast Baptist College and we were preaching about soul winning and missions, and we took a number of students down on Saturdays to knock doors in Los Angeles and just talk to people about the Lord. And I began to share that truth with our deacons and sharing with them about people getting saved and let's pray to start a church in Los Angeles. And one of the deacons was Sal Minivar.
There was a preacher, you know, speaking about you know, we need new churches being planted. And that day, I was speaking to the Lord, Lord, if I can be of use in your kingdom, here am I, you know.
And Sal was a man just full of energy. He had immigrated from El Salvador. He had gotten involved in the garment district business and was quite successful.
We had a nice business of 12 years of our business produced $1 million a year.
But after hearing for several weeks about these young men leading people to Christ in Los Angeles, the Lord began to burden Sal's heart.
And the Lord showed me, and the Lord broke me, and the Lord just confirmed to me, right, you know, consider these people. As I remember 1999, June 1999, we were going so winning for a month, and then we kind of launched out, and for me to start, and that was the first time I preached, June 1999. There were some people saved that time, and that even today, they're still there with us.
And really, the leadership that Sal Minivar has shown and grown into has amazed me. It has definitely been a servant leadership. It's a congregation that serves the Spanish-speaking, the Korean-speaking, every kind of a person. They have met in so many different kinds of buildings. To see God bless that church has been one of the great joys of our ministry here at Lancaster Baptist. And it was one of the very first churches we helped to plant. And today it is a lighthouse in the shadow of the downtown skyscrapers of Los Angeles.
I mean, the need of planting churches here is incredible. And nobody is doing what we are doing, you know, like indoors. And to share the gospel one-on-one, it's only us here and these millions of people.
You know, people are always speaking against California and Hollywood and all these things, and I get it. I do the same. But very few people are putting an effort into making a difference and church planting and soul winning. Sal Minivar's life inspires me more than he really knows, and it's my prayer that his story will inspire many more today.
There was a lot crammed in 5 minutes there, and I appreciate it very much. Guys, there's no limit to what God can do with a surrendered servant of any race, any age, any class of people. A person that'll say, God, you can have my life, do with it what you will. Amen. There is no limit to what can be done in reaching the reward for Christ. And I want our church, we have a really good church, and there's a lot of good things about it, but I want to see more so. As things progress, and again, we talk about the end times consistently around here lately, but whether it's the end times for us as a world or whether it's just our end times as an individual, we're aging each day, okay? So we're all in our end times. That we would be made up a group of surrendered servants that make a difference in our community, make a difference in the world at large through missions and everything else. So I hope you'll receive that challenge. What we're going to do is dismiss in a word of prayer. We're glad you're here. If you showed up tonight and you didn't know exactly what we're doing and you're confused by all this, I apologize. We've been announcing it for a few weeks. What we want to do is we want to dismiss from here, and we want to go ahead and make our way to the back fairly quick because we don't want to keep you here too late tonight. There are snacks, there are drinks. Go ahead and make your way and get those, and then go ahead and be seated, and we'll start calling bingo in about 10 minutes or so, and we're going to have a good time. So glad you're here. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the night you've given us. We appreciate, Lord God, this pastor that we just saw the video about, that he was willing to relinquish the things that the world had offered him, Lord, to surrender and take on the eternal things that you offered him, Lord. And I thank you for the example. I thank you, Lord God, for the good message Brother David brought us. Lord, the harvest is plenty. And Lord, the laborers are few, and we want to be laborers. We want to be people in the field. We want to be people that are literally working and being the hands and feet of your Son, Jesus. So help us to do so, Father. Challenge us. Help us, shake us out of our comfort zones. Lord, cause us to, for us to be willing for our lives to be disrupted when you make a demand or a call upon it. And so, Father, as we move on from here, we pray your blessings on the night. Lord, we want to have a good time. We feel like we're doing this in a way, Lord, to not dishonor you in the least. And Lord, just help us to have sweet fellowship. And thank you for the faces, the new faces that it's brought to the house of God tonight. We're thankful for that. And we just ask your blessings now as we dismiss from here in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you're dismissed.